everyone.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Sally Alcordi, and welcome to Public Advocate. I will be picking up my guests momentarily. Please just give me 1 second while I look for something very important. Okay, I found it. And now we will start the show. Okay, this is Sally Alcordi. This is Public Advocate you're listening to. And we have had a very devastating thing happen here in New York City. Mandated vaccines for the youngest have been voted on by the health committee. This flies in the face of New York state laws. This is for the H1N1 flu shot because all flu shots are the H1N1 flu shot, the pneumococcal vaccine, and any additional vaccine which may be required. This is on top of 49 shots through the age of 5, which is the CDC schedule. And this is absolutely, and they said at the meeting that there are no religious and medical exemption caps, and I have heard the polar opposite. Much of what this doctor, Dr. Varma, said, I could have I could have corrected him a multitude of times were I allowed to speak while he was speaking. They disinformed us at the beginning of the meeting, and at the end of the meeting, I did in fact have the last word, but it didn't matter because the vote had been taken, and the vote was pre-decided. Quite frankly, if you were to listen to this man and know absolutely nothing, you would believe that flu shots were the greatest thing since sliced bread. But he has completely disinformed everybody. He's taken his sweet time to do it, and I'm sure was paid handsomely. But I could have, for free, corrected almost everything he said. And I had given them a CD, a DVD of Silent Epidemic, The Story of Vaccination, and in that DVD, and I said, have a screening of it for all the people who will be voting. I gave them my legislation, Ban Vaccines 2013, with all the ingredients, the diseases, and intent. So I gave them the fact that the CDC literature from the CDC said there will be a low epidemic of flu for 2013-14, so they actually say on their own literature that they are not expecting any kind of a flu outbreak. And what else did I give them? Oh, I gave them the inserts for all of the vaccines with the ingredients and the adverse reaction. Could I have given them more effective information to thwart such an outcome? Well, I guess they just didn't bother to look at it. I'm sorry, but I'm just absolutely incensed at what can happen. There's no vote. It's not legislated. The people who spoke out, almost around 20 of us, all of us opposed it. Nobody listened. All right, who am I going to pick up now? I'll pick up the first caller who called in. Oh. Hello? Denise?
Hello.
Hi,
I'm
sweetheart.
Here.
Yes, I have another caller on the line, but I want to set the stage for what you're about to say, okay? The first thing
okay.
I want to say, yes, it's important that I say this. The first thing I want to say is that one shot to a 6-pound infant is the equivalent of 30 shots to an adult on the same day. My small dog gets the same dose of vaccination as a Great Dane does, as Denise and I were talking about just moments ago, and needless to say, the small dogs are dying, okay? My father almost died from a flu shot. My mother had a stroke after a pneumonia shot. All these things you must know, and now Denise will tell you what happened to her mother after she was given both a flu and pneumonia shot. And then I will pick up my next caller, Denise Rednauer. Welcome. Please tell our audience.
Okay, Annie, thank you. Last year, my mother was, she wasn't the most healthy of women, but she was 79 years old. And she had suffered with a high blood pressure since she was in her 30s or 40s. And she was taking Coumadin and a couple of other things. And it necessitated every 3 months, quarterly, she would go in and they would check her Coumadin levels, et cetera, and make sure that her medication didn't need to be adjusted, whatever. And everything had been just fine for many, many years, no problems. And, in fact, my mom was feeling really, really good. She had gone out and gone golfing with my brother and everything. And when they were on their way home from the golf course one day, my mom was to stop in, you know, it was time for her to stop into the lab and let them draw blood for her Coumadin levels. And so my brother stopped and dropped her off at the lab and said, I'm running across the street to McDonald's, Mom, to get a Diet Coke. I'll be right back. And they were going to go to the strawberry farm and pick, you know, get some fresh strawberries or whatever. And so anyway, my brother left her there for a few minutes. They took her in the back to draw her blood for the Coumadin. And they said, oh, while you're here, we're going to go ahead and give you a flu and pneumonia shot, a combination shot. And they gave my mother the shot, the combination flu and pneumonia shot, H1N1. My mom went home that evening and everything, and my brother said, he would stop at my mom's house every evening when he got off work and check on her, you know, and stuff, because my brother lives like a block from her. And so anyway, he would stop and he said, well, Mom, I'll see you tomorrow after work. So he left her. She was sitting in the lounge chair in her bedroom and watching Game Show Network, which she did every evening, you know, and got her supper together and was sitting there. She said, okay, son, I'll see you tomorrow. Well, the next day, my brother, while he was at work, tried to give my mom a call, and she didn't answer the phone. And so he left work a little bit early, and he got to my mom's house, and he found her sitting in the chair, the same place she was sitting the night before. Can you hear me, Sally?
Yes, I can.
Okay. She was sitting in the chair, the same place she was sitting the night before. She had not been able to get up. She was too weak, had urinated and defecated, you know, in the chair, and was incoherent, could not respond to my brother, just very glassy-eyed and almost comatose. And so my brother thought maybe she had had a stroke. He immediately called an ambulance. They got out there. They rushed her to the hospital. Her oxygen levels had plummeted. They got her to the hospital, and they said she has pneumonia. This was 24 hours.
And
24 hours after receiving the shot. She was incoherent, couldn't respond. They took her to the hospital. They had her in ICU. I was able to, I think it was 24 hours or after that or whatever, I was able to talk to her on the telephone, and she could very weakly, barely get out, you know, I love you, honey, and she told me happy birthday. It was my birthday. And I was so happy that, you know, she was strong enough to wish me a happy birthday. And they took her in the ER. She had COPD and had been on oxygen for 11 years or almost 12 years. And she had was doing just fine, though. And they took her off of oxygen when they put her in the ER. And here she was with pneumonia, and they took her off the oxygen. And then immediately upon arrival at the hospital, because of her age, put her on what they called comfort care, which to my ears and in my heart tells me we're not going to do anything for them. Comfort care
right.
is we're not going to do nothing, you know. And basically they took her oxygen and everything. And she was gone on December. My birthday's January 27th.
You're breaking up, Denise. And Denise, sweetheart, you're breaking up, dear.
Okay,
Denise?
I'm sorry. I'm here.
I can't.
You can't hear me? Let me try to call back in.
Denise, I'm sorry you're breaking up at this exact moment.
I'm going to call back in.
Denise, I will have to bid you adieu. I will tell the audience that your mommy died from this and that this is very serious. And this is what they're about to do to babies in New York City. And your mother has not died in vain because you called into this show to say what they're about to do to the youngest. God bless you, Denise Rednauer. I hope you can hear me. Oh. Hello?
Are you there, sweetie? Are you there, Sally?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, honey, I was able to call back in, and that was all I wanted to finish. I just wanted to say that my mother, on the 27th, the day after she entered the hospital, was able to wish me happy birthday, and she died in her sleep on the 29th of January. They never attempted to give her any oxygen or anything, and it was a result of pneumonia that was induced, that they gave her in a shot.
Thank you, Denise. What you have said is extremely valuable testimony. I appreciate it. And I'm
okay,
so
honey.
Sorry.
Thank you so much for having me.
For your mommy's demise because of this. Goodbye, my sweet.
Goodbye, my
Goodbye.
Sweet. Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, this is
Hello?
Sally. Who's this? This is Sally.
Hi, Sally. It's Josephine.
Josephine. Please tell us, Josephine, what is your child vaccine damaged?
It affected her neurological.
Hello? How old is your little girl? You have a little girl. What is her name?
Yes. Her name is Christina.
She is the cutest, most adorable child I have ever seen in my life. And without exception, and I have two adorable children too. But this is the most appealing child I've ever seen. She is how old now?
She's a little over 2.5. She'll be 3 in March.
How many vaccines has she received? Do you know how many doses of
vaccines
she received?
I'm not sure, but she is fully vaccinated up to the age of 2.
She's fully vaccinated up to the age of 2, which is horrifying.
Yes.
I'm so sorry to hear that. Okay. Well, now they want to mandate annually the
yes,
flu shot.
Yes, and she cannot have this flu shot.
And the pneumococcal, my friend. Do you realize this resolution is for both?
Yeah.
This is the woman who was just on, was telling you what happened to her mother after she received both. My mother had a stroke after the pneumonia. My father was sick for 6 months and on death's door, but didn't actually die after the flu shot. And these are grown people. And the first thing I stated was to say that to give a tiny person a vaccine is the equivalent of giving a grown person 30.
Yes.
So to give, I am out of my mind knowing what they are trying to do to our children.
Exactly. It's so important that she does not get this flu shot. She cannot get this flu shot.
Can you homeschool?
That can be an option. But Christina is getting many, many services. She was just recently diagnosed of low autism. So she is getting a tremendous amount of services now, ABA, speech, OT, and it's a lot of hours. And the thing is, Christina needs to be in school. She needs that support, all the services kind of linked together with the school. I mean, worst case scenario, I could homeschool her.
Best case scenario, let me tell you why it's the best case scenario. There is a case of a year ago, a woman by the name of Jennifer Parker sued because her child was given the flu shot in school without her consent. She won her case, which doesn't really matter. You can't undo it, but she won, and that was important, she won. But the health department appealed, and they won because we're still under the pandemic laws of 2009. They've never been lifted. Even though there is no pandemic anywhere, even though I presented the CDC's own assessment that we have a low incidence of flu this year, but what I'm saying is, even if you could get recourse in monetary, it would be taken away from you. Because you do not, I would not leave my child in a public system for all the therapies in the world if they could also inoculate and get away with, as precedent has set here in New York State.
Hi, Sally. I'm also on the line with Josephine. This is Jazz Landis. How are you?
Oh, Jazz, you are such a godsend talking to people and making sure they came to that hearing.
How are you, Sally? I'm loving everything that you're saying right now. I just wanted to chime in, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm just saying,
absolutely, you can.
All of us went and spoke out in opposition. What does it matter? We were, that guy sat down, Dr. Varma, and misconstrued everything. I mean, he was the only one who had a mic, and you weren't there. But let me tell you, you could have, any one of us could have gone head-to-head with him on every single issue.
Absolutely.
It was terrible.
Absolutely.
He sat there and completely misinformed them.
Now, but is Mr. Bloomberg his employer?
I'm sure all of them were appointed. I'll tell you my new legislation. Would you like to hear it? Henceforth, all vaccine testing will be performed on elected officials and administration appointees. Do you like my new legislation?
I love it. I love it.
Love it.
I love it. You know, I just wanted to chime in and say, you know, with Christina obviously was a victim of, she's a vaccine injury victim. And, you know, I think we have to go back to the beginning before we talk about anybody who's been injured and start with, you know, the reason.
Yes, please. I hope that you will. Are you still there? Hello? Oh, dear. Hello, who is this? Hello?
This is still Denise, honey, and her call dropped.
Yeah, her call dropped.
Hopefully she'll call back.
They have a lot to say, and thank goodness they're together so they can talk on and off with each other. But let me contact them and tell them to call back into the show. And
okay, honey.
Why don't you sing a song to the audience while I do that.
Oh, I can't sing, but... But, yeah, go ahead and call. And while you're doing that, I'll just I wanted to thank you, Sally, because this topic is so very, very important. And, you know, from infants to them imposing and stipulating that your children cannot receive an education or that you have ramifications and will be held, you know, criminally liable if you do not submit your children to vaccines, and then the elderly, and you know, your grandmother, your mother, or whoever goes to the doctor, and they think they're doing the right thing, and they get a shot, and then you know it ends up being their demise. So it looks like your caller may have called back in there, Sally.
Hold on. Let's see what happens.
Let me see if we can pick them up.
Hold on. Let me do that, if you will. Just put that
up. Ahead.
Oh,
go ahead. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Okay. Go ahead and open up her line.
Okay.
Sorry, Denise.
Hello, Denise.
There you go. You're
Hi,
back.
Are you talking to Denise? Sorry, we just hung up
there
at this
for
point,
a second.
Denise, I think it might be helpful.
Muting.
Can you hear us now?
Denise, dear, if you would hang up at this point, I think, thank you. Hello, do I have my guests back, Jazz and Joe?
Yes.
Hi,
Jazz.
How are you?
Okay, now, Jazz and Joe, say whatever it is you need to say at this point, because I'm afraid of losing everybody again. Go ahead,
okay,
please.
So
and
what
Denise,
I wanted to
Denise,
start with
oh, hold
is,
on, just,
you know,
would you
this fear-mongering soundbite that all the vaccine advocates and the big pharmaceutical companies use about the fact that we need to have this herd immunity. You know, herd immunity is a theory that states that 95% of the population needs to be vaccinated in order to reach a target level, you know, so that they can eradicate and control these diseases. You know, now this theory of herd immunity is not only flawed science, it also poses a very serious danger to the community. You know, it advocates a one-size-fits-all vaccine program. And the reason that this is so dangerous is because, you know, it's a biological fact that every child and every human being has a different genetic makeup. You know, this may or may not have them predisposed for having negative reactions, sometimes catastrophic reactions, like in the case of Christina, to some of these ingredients in the shot. And, you know, currently no doctor is testing for allergies or doing any kind of genetic history for possible reactions that these children may have. You know, ingredients like aluminum and formaldehyde, thimerosal mercury, phenol, oxyethanol, these are all toxic, neurotoxin, carcinogenic, very hazardous for human beings ingredients. And, you know, it's a very scary thing with this new mandate because basically, they're going to be exposing millions of children to these ingredients without doing any prior testing to see if they will have any kind of allergic reaction to them. You know, this is going to have serious, serious effects, not only now for our children, but, you know, later in life, the long-term effects of these kind of ingredients going into a developing brain. We don't know how bad it's going to be, but right now there are studies coming out that saying that if you get a flu shot 3 to 5 times in your life, which is what they want to do for these children every year until they're 5, it's saying that your chance of getting things like Alzheimer's in your later life are tenfold. You're 10 times more likely to develop these kind of cognitive problems in later in life. You know, essentially, we're told that the health of the herd is more important than a single life. So if your child is injured, like Christina was injured, or you are injured, your child is considered collateral damage in their so-called war on disease. And the fact remains that if your child gets injured, they just become another vaccine injury statistic. And you as a parent have no legal right to sue the pharmaceutical companies. I feel that that is indicative of just how in the pockets our politicians are with these pharmaceutical companies. These politicians are not working for us. They are working for these companies. Otherwise, why would we not have the right to sue them? Why would that even be a law in America that you can't sue a company if they injure your child? You know, currently your only recourse if your child gets injured is you have to file a claim with a branch of the Supreme Court called the Vaccine Court, which isn't really even a court, you know. You have to file for injury compensation where you battle through constant bureaucracy for years to get a monetary judgment on how much your child's life is worth. You know, this is just criminal. It's criminal. And this mandate is going to put, it just makes me so angry. As a teacher in New York, I have seen so many children injured by these shots. You know, these babies are all going to be affected. And, you know, currently there is no proven efficacy that in this age group that flu shots even work. So the mandate is not only ridiculous, but it's unjustified. There is no scientific evidence that these flu shots are going to help any child under the age of 6. Okay? Not only that, but the CDC has admitted they are guessing every year of which strain is actually going to be out. They don't know what strain of the flu is going to be out that year. So basically, they're giving you a shot in hope that that's the strain that's going to be out there. But the fact of the matter is, if there's a different strain, you're still going to get the flu. whether you have the shot or not, not to mention all the other side effects that can happen. So, in Christina's case, she was injured by the shots. I was luckily able to convince Josephine and give her the information that she must not vaccinate her daughter anymore. My child is unvaccinated. I was lucky to get the information before he, came out of the oven. So, right now we're just trying to fight this because not only is this mandate going to hurt children, it takes away our fundamental rights as parents to choose for our children. And no politician should be able to tell us that we cannot make a choice for our child. And that is what the bottom line comes down to. That is what the fight comes down to, not just to protect our babies, but to regain our voices and to regain our rights as parents. And that is why I started a petition on change.org, and I hope everybody will sign it. I posted it on your website for us to petition the new mayor, Mayor-elect de Blasio, to repeal this dangerous mandate.
Well, I posted that directly under the screen, so everybody who's listening to this interview, just scroll down under the flashing photographs, and you'll see the live link to the petition. I have signed it. And I hope everybody else will sign it as well, because action must be taken. Now, he is supposed to be the mayor as of January 1st, which means that he has about 2 weeks to take action once in office. Is that your assessment as well?
Can you repeat the question? I didn't hear you.
So he has to undo that, and I don't know exactly how this all goes down. We have to investigate. That has to happen. But we also have to investigate people's ties to these drug companies, all the people who were in that meeting, who voted or presented. We need to know Bloomberg's ties to the pharmaceutical industries. Where are his investments? Because this is 150,000 children will be inoculated with the flu and an extra pneumococcal now mandated and any vaccine which may be required. So this is startling. The doctor said, any vaccine which may be required was already in place, to which I reply, if that was already in place, why is everybody voting on this?
Right?
Yeah.
So, you really have to wonder. And there are 271 vaccines, according to the National Vaccine Information Center, in the pipeline. So if it's any vaccine which may be required, they're trying to kill our
The other
children.
Thing is, the statistics have gone up. I don't know if you've seen the VAERS website or the National Vaccine Information Center's website, but, the number last year was 84,000 people were injured by the flu vaccine, including 1,000 deaths. Here we have had 93,000 reports of injury and hospitalization on the VAERS website, as well as 1,800 deaths reported. And these are only the people that have reported. There are many people that get sick from these shots that go to their doctors, and their doctors actually deny them the opportunity to report their injuries. And a lot of them don't know about the VAERS website. So we have to assume that that number is actually higher.
That's not on the VAERS website. You want to hear something that's not on the VAERS website? My friend works in an emergency room here in New York City.
It's on the IVIC website, and they say that their source comes from the VAERS, the Vaccine Injury Reporting website, that the statistic at the moment for this year is 93,000 injuries and 1,800 deaths. Also 1,700 cases of the Guillain-Barre syndrome, which is the paralyzing neurological disorder, and reported as side effects of these shots.
How many cases of Guillain-Barre?
1,700. Guillain-Barre syndrome, and then we have 1,800 currently for the death toll for 2013 with the flu vaccine, and 93,000 reports of injury and hospitalization.
Well, I just want to tell you, 30,000 nurses quit their jobs to avoid having the flu shot. 30,000 nurses quit their jobs to avoid having to take the flu shot, And my friend works in an emergency room. My friend works in an emergency room. She said 90% of the flu cases that came in had been inoculated. They had taken the flu shot. So that's a staggering statistic. So I just want to say,
I mean, if the healthcare workers don't want to take it, that should speak volumes.
Exactly.
How dangerous this shot is. I mean, these are people that are in the healthcare system. These are people that know about this stuff, are educated in the medical field, and they're saying no. You know, that right there is scary to me, that they would quit their jobs. I mean, that's how serious they feel about getting the shot injected into them. You know, and for us to give this to children under 5, it is irresponsible, it's dangerous, and it's downright criminal, especially since there's no scientific evidence to prove that these have any efficacy in this age group, in this very young age group. You know, so I don't know what else to say except that I am disgusted, I'm outraged as a parent, and I will fight this to the death, and there is no way they are getting that shot into my little boy.
Well, I will put underneath, in the comment area, I will list a website that of a man who is experienced at helping people get religious exemptions, because you can get an exemption from this, can you not?
Yes, a religious exemption.
Yeah, but they're really hard to get, so hard that the John Gilmore of Autism Action Network said they're just not giving them out anymore.
Well, you know, Sally, there's always a way. Where there's a will, there's a way, you know. And I personally, I want my son to go to school. He should not be denied his right in this country that says that all children need to be educated and should be allowed free access to education. He should not be denied his education, the ability to go to school and socialize, you know, because I refuse to have him systematically.
Hello? Yeah, I hear you. Do you hear me?
Hello?
Yes, I hear you.
Joe,
are you there, Joe?
I understand what you were saying about homeschool, and of course that's an option, but I just feel like we need to fight for our children to be allowed to receive their education. You know, America is a country where all children are supposed to be able to have access to education, and my child should not be excluded from that because of my choice to not vaccinate him.
I get what you're saying, but you realize that a precedent has already been set for children to be inoculated in school and get away with it because the pandemic laws of 2009 have never been lifted.
You know, that's obviously scary, a scary Gestapo tactic where, you know, they're forcibly injecting your child. But
they're doing it in Brooklyn right now.
I have a good relationship with the school administration.
Joe,
you know how I feel about that stuff.
Joe and Jazz, you need to hear what I'm about to say. Right now, as of 3 weeks ago, they have administered the H1N1 flu shot in a middle school without the parents' knowledge. That was 3 weeks ago. And
yes, I read about that on the post that you shared. My boys go to private school. I don't know if they're going to be doing that in private, but my boys are old enough. They're at an age where they completely understand what's going on. They know about their sister's injuries. And I basically, when I read that article that you posted on Facebook, I had to sit down with my boys, and I told them that if anyone comes and offers to give them a flu shot or anything, they see anything that resembles a needle, to refuse it.
This was a
and walk away.
So you know,
and if they try to force it on them, they are to walk out of the school. My boys know not to allow anyone give them any vaccination at all. I also told them to not even take a drink from a nurse or anything. Yes, it's difficult to protect your child when they are, you know, when they are young. They really don't understand. They're not going to get it. But at least for the parents that do have older children, they can warn them and basically tell them not to take it. I mean, that's the only way I feel I can protect my boys right now. And thank God they are much, much, much older. And they have the right to refuse something. And like I said, I gave them the okay to walk out of school if they still try to force it on them. It is scary, though, for my, you know, my little one, like Christina and Hendrick, where we can't educate them yet, and for them to really understand. I just feel that
also,
it is disgusting.
So you know, also giving the HPV in the high school in Brooklyn, in the Edward R. Murrow High School in Brooklyn.
Okay. But I'm sure if a parent suspected something like this, they would have been, you know, they would have told their children too, don't take it, you know. These are children, once are victims. Once again, they don't know what's going on. The parent would never think that would happen. I didn't think that would ever happen until you posted it. But I thank you for that because that opened my eyes. And now I was able to warn my boys. It's just, I think it's disgusting. I think it's monstrous how these people can dictate to us. I've always thought I lived in the land of free, being free, freedom. You know, who has the right to tell me what to give my child?
The government.
I protect my children every day from colds and flu.
The health department will remind you that the pandemic laws haven't been lifted since 2009. And this
well,
guy
I just feel, you know, they can have whatever law they want.
Doctor, listen to me. This guy, doctor has the gall to say we can. That's already in place. Any vaccine can be required. He actually said that, and he said he wants to extend this through 12th grade. I actually didn't know when they took a vote if they took a vote on it through 12th grade.
Wow. Now, Sally, do you know if this is if they're doing this in private schools or is this primarily happening in public school settings?
What I was told is that it's all schools. Perhaps it's all schools receiving city funding. I don't know if there's any. I was told it was all schools. Are you a member of Autism Action Network?
Yes, we are.
Good. I would most assuredly, and I will have John Gilmore on again, talk
awesome.
About this. And what I want you to do is make a list of questions you have for him. Every single question you can conceive of, I want you to write down, and I will make sure that he addresses all of them. I will send them to him and say the answers to this is what we need when Sally interviews you, hopefully tomorrow. Hopefully I'll be able to get him on tomorrow. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
I don't know when we're going to be cut off. So let me just say, before we might be, and I know my computer's been on the fritz today. Let me tell you, I almost didn't make it on the show. What time is it? We have about 7 minutes. That's good. But let me remind everybody that Joe, you're the one who wrote the petition. Am I correct, or was it Jazz?
Jazz wrote it.
All right. Okay, well, just let me remind people that it is directly under the screen of the radio program, and we hope that you will read it and sign it and extend your objections to everybody in this mix. However, de Blasio is in a position to make a change. Mayor Bloomberg, having called for this, obviously doesn't want to make a change, but I tell you, are you still there? Because my phone keeps beeping every 5 minutes. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
We're here.
Okay.
We're here.
All right. You take it from here, and I will say nothing else. Both of you say everything you want to say. You've got 5 minutes.
I just want to say, too, with this petition, I just want everyone to understand. This is not just about parents against vaccinations. This is about our right to decide for our children. Whether you're pro-vax or not, you please, you need to sign this. It's about our rights. It's about no one else making decisions for our children's health but the parents.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is about our fundamental rights to choose as parents. So like Josephine said, whether you're pro-vax or, you know, not for vaccines, that's not the point. The point is that our rights are being taken away as parents. You know, our rights are under attack with this mandate, and we need to fight to repeal it and set a precedent because, you know, the fact of the matter is New York is a trend-setting state. So what we adopt, other states will adopt. So we need to make sure that we set a precedent saying that we are not okay with this attack on our rights. We are not going to stand for it. And, you know, it's not going to happen. We are going to repeal this law come hell or high water. You know, also, I think, Sally, it's worth mentioning that today they had mentioned in the news that Mayor de Blasio has appointed a new deputy of health, and we should probably start petitioning her as well. And I will go ahead and post that information onto your website because I believe she's going to be the point person that we need to get in contact with regarding this petition and regarding getting this law repealed.
Sounds great.
Okay, well, all I can say is we should march every Wednesday at noon. You girls available?
Hello?
Yes, I'm saying we should march every Wednesday at noon. Until this is repealed,
okay.
Or
sounds
every
good.
Single day.
Sounds good.
Wednesdays are good with me.
Okay, let's do that. Every Wednesday at noon, we cannot tolerate this. And what's really upsetting is that everybody, this is Joe, say your full name, and then Jazz, say your full name.
Josephine Ramos.
I'm Jazz Ramos Landis.
Are you guys related, I presume?
No.
Well, you both have the name Ramos. I'm not completely off the mark here. You both have the name Ramos, so I didn't know.
It's a funny story. We became best friends, and then we realized her married name is Ramos, and my maiden name is Ramos. So we're family. We've become family in that respect.
I see. Well, I was so impressed at the fact that you being a teacher and seeing the increase in vaccine injury among the students you work with, I assumed you were a special needs teacher, but you're not. You're a music teacher. So
yes, I'm a music teacher.
Then,
I teach toddler programs, so I've kind of been put on the forefront. I was kind of thrown in the forefront of this movement because of seeing children from very young and then seeing them get older and, you know, seeing just how much they had changed. Christina was one of the first cases I really noticed. She had been such a bright, and she still is smart and bright, but she was such a baby, an infant that was very ahead of the game. She was always ahead of every milestone, and, you know, she came into my classroom at about, she was like 2 months. I was teaching a mommy and me class at that time. And then she came into my music class when she was about 18 months. And that's when I saw the difference. And I realized at that point that she had been affected. It took me a long time to convince Josephine. She didn't know about this, as many parents don't. They're just not educated on these vaccines. She had just been doing what the doctor told her, you know, trusting the doctor like so many parents do. You know, it took me a long time to convince her, but when I finally did and we got the hair test results back of the fact that Christina had been aluminum poisoned, she had very high levels of aluminum and tin in her system, and that is what has been causing her neurological damage. And,
okay,
you know, Josephine, I have to applaud her. She's become an advocate because of her daughter. She has.
Everyone who's listening to this program, I want you to go to reversingvaccineinducediseases.com. This is Dr. Carly's website. She is the person I refer people to. She's been doing it longer than anybody, and her own child was autistic, and she had to create a way to reverse this. So I send people to her because there are solutions, and I